I frequently say that we manage four things in life: matter, energy, space, and time. And the purpose of managing any of this is so we can manifest our energies in what I'll consider uniquely valuable ways. And maybe that's the purpose of life, to be able to self-express and to manifest our energies in uniquely valuable ways. The one element, though, out of matter, energy, space, and time, that we can agree upon is the quantity of time is the same for every one of us. We can all agree that we have 24 hours every day. Now, we can't say that about matter, energy, space, and time. You know, physically, we don't have the same amount of matter. Mentally and emotionally, we don't necessarily have the same amount of intelligence or energy. Now, we may quibble about what space we do and do not have access to, but ultimately, we'll have to come to terms with that. Does a homeless man have more space than a person who has to live in a house? Or does the homeless person not have space to call his own? And because he doesn't have that space that he calls his own, he's not responsible for managing that space. But it would seem to me that we all take on the responsibility of managing whatever space we accept as our own, whether it's a shopping cart or a cardboard box under a bridge, or it's an apartment, or it's a single family home, or it's a car or a closet. And the amount of time that we have to do that in, again, is confined to 24 hours a day. Time is the topic of this talk, specifically managing time to produce better feelings. Ultimately, isn't that why we'd want to manage it in the first place? We're going to manage it to produce better feelings. It's part of that self-expression. It's part of that creation process that seems to be the purpose in life. One of my heroes is a man named Walter Russell, who was very accomplished at very high levels in six or seven different areas. He was world famous as a writer, philosopher, businessman, musician, sportsman, painter, sculptor, scientist, and photographer. That's quite a laundry list. When Walter Russell was asked to explain how he got so much accomplished to his biographer, the guy who was writing a book about him, Glenn Clark, and the title of the book is The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe, Walter Russell attributed his success to two major concepts. Number one, he only took action on a physical level on those items that he clearly saw in meditation and prayer, in his imagination, and when he saw the desired outcome clearly, that's when he took physical action. When he saw that action that completed, and then the steps filled in his imagination, he knew what he had to do, and he took action. In the book, Glenn Clark said to him, "Because you get so many great ideas, why don't you just act upon an idea?" And he said, "Why would I do that? If it's not clear to me, the idea, the path, the outcome, is not clear to me, and I start to take physical action, that means I'm going to do things going in the wrong direction. I'll have to repeat certain things. I'll have to correct errors. I would have wasted a lot of time, a lot of energy, and probably a lot of money. So I don't do it that way." The other element that he took into consideration, this was his second major factor, is he organized his time on a daily basis into blocks of 2 hours each. So now he segmented his time into blocks of 2 hours, and he'd work on a project for 2 hours. He'd stop, and then he would change projects. He would work on something else. 2 hours focused, devoted to a project, stop, and then work on a different project. And for Walter Russell, those 2 hours gave him enough time to be able to make deep progress on whatever he was working on, but it was short enough for him, so he didn't get tired, he didn't get bored, he stayed fresh, and then he shifted his focus to the next project, which was, he was like a new man. So he would say, well, this is why I don't get tired, because I don't get bored, I don't run out of steam when I'm working on anything, because I'm only working on it for a total of 2 hours. I love that concept. And it is this idea of us managing time in order to feel good, in order to be productive, in order to be effective, in order to self-express and to create what we want in our lives, is huge to us. And we start at a very early age trying to manage time. When I was a child, occasionally I would not be able to sleep. And so I would come downstairs and I would say to my parents, I can't sleep, I can't sleep. And they would acquiesce and say, okay, you know, just what do you want to do? I would want to open a couple of sets of encyclopedias. We had two, the Encyclopedia Britannica and another one with white covers. I forget the specific name of it. Had more pictures, less text. Encyclopedia Britannica, more text, less pictures. So I'd lay on the floor reading the encyclopedia. My parents would be reading books or newspapers or magazines and talking. Even today, the idea of staying up late at night is very appealing to me. This is like, oh, a lot of good things happen late at night. There's some sort of peacefulness. And, you know, you can make sense out of that. Now, over the course of my life, I've had parents, and actually children say this to me, adult children say, you know what, we had a lot of kids in our family, but every one of us felt like an only child because of the way our parents supported us, gave us attention, were able to listen to us, and so on. I went, wow, that's cool. For me, in my nighttime forays, this was how I managed time to be with my parents. So sometimes it was both of them. Sometimes if my mother was working at night, she was a registered nurse, worked a late shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., I'd be with my father and we'd be doing something, talking or, you know, having something to eat or reading. And that was my time to be an only child. I was an only child late at night instead of being the fifth out of seven children, which is what I was the remainder of the time. We do try to manage time to produce better feelings. And I say try to because we don't often succeed. Staying up too late, while it sounds like a cool idea based upon that set of images that I have about my childhood, but it can have a negative impact. The next morning, it's like, oh, I'm groggy, I'm not as sharp, I got to use a lot of coffee, and so on. So staying up late at night sounds appealing, but there is a negative effect that comes from that. We're not typically going to have better feelings when the alarm clock goes off if we've had insufficient sleep. Better to automatically wake up without an alarm clock. Just train yourself and you have structured habits of time, going to bed, waking up, easy enough to do, unless you overdue the staying up. In reality, you would think managing time, that should be easy. It should be easy. There's 24 hours every day. There was before I was born, there was when I was born, there is today, there will be for years and years and years, 24 hours of the day. So isn't that predictable? All of a sudden seems like, oh, I don't have enough time. Well, how is that possible? You have 24 hours a day. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It's not that the 24 hours is the problem. The difficult part in managing time is really managing ourselves the way we use time. So time is okay. It's managing ourselves as we use time. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. When we fritter away time on Facebook, I'm guilty. The problem is not time. It's a problem of self-control. Going to bed at a reasonable hour is an issue of, what, turning off the TV, setting down the book, turning off the computer. And in order to do any of those three, you need to have a bit of self-control. You've got to be able to manage oneself. And that falls into the category of energy. Oh, I want to stay up. I want to stay up. It's nice and peaceful. That's when you go, instead of that instant gratification, let me think about what I'm going to feel like in the morning. Okay, I'm turning off everything and going to bed. I had a client who fought time his entire life. He was born prematurely, and I think that was the beginning of the battle, and he considered time his enemy. There was not enough time, not enough time. And you could imagine that, being born at home, not enough time for the doctor to get there, not enough time to get to the hospital. All of that is a problem that continued. I knew him when he was 64 years old, and he had this habit for years. So this is how he used time. He would stay up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, had a terrible diet, drank Pepsi Cola, and smoked cigarettes. He was a medical doctor, had cancer, and was stressing because he wasn't getting enough stuff done. So he had a to-do list of, say, 8 or 10 items, and as he started to get things accomplished during the daytime, he would add more things to his to-do list so he could support his belief that he didn't have enough time. Now I have 18 things. I don't have time to do these other 4 or 6 or 8 items. But they weren't on his to-do list when he started the day. He deliberately, subconsciously, was driven to support his belief that he didn't have enough time, and then he would get angry at himself and at time for not being sufficient for him. And because he would stay up till 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, when he got time to wake up, he would just wake up at whatever hour, late in the morning, early afternoon. And, of course, now he's repeating the pattern. He wasn't, I don't have time to call those people. I don't have time to make contact with them. I don't have time to go to an appointment. And all of that was because he believed that time was his enemy. When I told him, I said, it's not your enemy, it's your allies. Like, I'm sorry, I don't get that. Right? And he struggled to think of it as his ally. And those habits certainly don't make one operational on a very high level, mentally or emotionally, and certainly physically. A poor diet, Pepsi Cola, cigarettes, lack of sleep. Yeah, that's not a recipe for being an effective manager of anything. So let me talk about the management of anything. Whether it's matter, energy, space, time, all of it requires some certain stable data. In order to eliminate chaos, one needs to establish one stable datum and then build around that, organize around that. So with regard to managing matter, energy, space, and time, I think it's easy enough to add a few stable data that you can decide upon, and then you go, okay, I'm going to use those things. I'm going to plug those into this structure that now makes it so much easier for me to manage. If we're going to manage the matter in a living room, one of the things we'll have to decide on, where am I going to put the couch? Where am I going to put the chair? Where's the floor and where's the ceiling? Where's the wall? Where's the door? Where's the window? When we start to identify any one of those, it makes everything else available to us. You go, oh. So if everything in the living room was floating in space and you didn't have any idea, everything was upside down, topsy-turvy, it's like, I don't know where anything goes. I can't even tell where the wall and the ceiling is. Okay? Just decide. Just decide. And as soon as you decide on anyone, the ceiling, the wall, or the floor, now you know where you hang a picture, put a ceiling fan, or you put your furniture. You go boom, 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 and everything else can fall into place. It just takes a single stable datum in order to bring order to chaos. So if you think about, okay, let's talk about time. And for people who have jobs and companies, the hours of the business are part of the stable data, giving structure to their workday. The store is open from 9 to 5 or 8 to 8 or whatever it happens to be. Okay, got it. Okay, now that's the beginning of organization or structure. Chaos is starting to disappear. If you have to be in the office when it opens, you go, okay, I got to be there at 8 or 9 whenever it opens. I got that. So, okay. And when do you stay? Do you stay until it closes? Do you leave at a certain... Boom. The process of managing time has largely been established because of work. And this is one of the great things about work for people, is it gives structure to time. And people start to feel better. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm in control of something here. I can manage something. The good feelings that come from that are huge. And people who don't have work, this is a challenge for retirees, and people who are unemployed, it's like, I don't have anything valuable to do with my time. Well, of course, that's easy enough to remedy with a little teeny bit of thought and imagination. To continue with this, I got to go to the office scenario. With a little bit of experience, we would understand, let me think, okay, I need to leave the house at this hour in order to get to the office at this hour. Okay, got it. Well, in order to leave the house at that hour, I need to get up at this hour because it takes me this amount of time to get ready, eat breakfast, shower, get dressed, and do whatever else needs to be done in the morning. Yep, boom. Now all of a sudden, all of that structure is available to us. And if we consider how we feel when that alarm clock goes off, which we would have been wise enough to set if we're not going to automatically wake up at the appropriate time, we'll know whether we had enough time to sleep. Oh, I feel great, I feel fresh, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. That's a good thing. Because based upon those feelings, we're going to go, you know what? I went to bed at the proper hour. I went to bed too late or even too early. We're looking for the proper time so that we could wake up feeling bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, in my opinion, ideally without an alarm clock that is jarring to us. And you'd go, that's it. I'm seeking the right time to go to bed. If you think of the devices that we use in order to manage time, you're going to think, well, I wear a watch, or I use the watch on my phone, or I use the clock on my computer down in the bottom right-hand corner, or I use an appointment book, a calendar. All of that is designed to help us give structure to time so we can manage it better. I need to buy the 2016 appointment book because at the end of 2015 and those final couple of pages that just have the month, just a little teeny block of time for the month, I've got entries in there going to December of 2016, and that's not sufficient detail for me. So maybe in the next day or two, I'll get to Office Max, buy that 2016 appointment book, and then start populating it with vacation time, projects, holidays, some other travel commitments that we have, dental checkups. I've already got that scheduled 5 months out from now. There are certain meetings that I know that are going to occur online and in person. And many more things that really represent the standard use of time for me. And I think the same thing is probably true for you, that if you had 2016 calendar available to you, you could go, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do and do and do and do. And pretty soon, a lot of the time would be structured for us. I've recently come across the author, Chris Winfield. ChrisWinfield.com has some cool information on his website. So I don't know exactly how I heard of him or came across this stuff. But he's an author, and he said in an ebook that he has 35 things he does every day. 35 things. I realized I don't know how many things I have to do or that I want to do every day. You know why? Because I haven't taken time to figure out how I use time. I could make a list starting with a couple of the items that I know make me feel really good when I do them. Every time I journal, I feel good about myself and life, and I try to do that every single day. That's a stable datum for me. Every time I exercise, I feel good about me and life. I don't do that every day, but every time I do, I'm pleased with myself. That needs to become a daily activity. It needs to be a stable datum of my, I'll assume, 35 items or thereabouts. Another thing I like to do is I like to reach out for new ideas. I try to read everything that even looks like information that passes before my eyes. I look at books and magazines and e-books and the internet. And that exploring for ideas makes me feel really good. I like that a lot. I like information a lot, but I can't say that I'm the best organizer of information. In fact, I can get myself buried in information. And so managing my time while being exposed to an ocean of information really needs a lot of work. There's a time management process called the Pomodoro Technique. I heard about it once before, didn't know anything about it, but Chris Winfield writes about it. And so I downloaded his PDF ebook. You may know Pomodoro is the Italian word for tomato. Not that that has much to do with time, but it's kind of an interesting thing, the Pomodoro technique. So instead of the 2-hour blocks of time that Walter Russell used, Pomodoro is set up in 25-minute blocks of time. Each block of 25 minutes is considered one Pomodoro. That's the languaging. Kind of cool. Since you think, well, I got a task, I got a project, and it requires more than 25 minutes, we would work on that project for 25 minutes, stop, take a break, become refreshed, and we could return to it. So every block is considered one Pomodoro. So if you needed multiple Pomodoros or 25-minute blocks in order to accomplish something, you would do it. But only working 25 minutes at a time keeps us energized, keeps us focused, keeps us engaged in this at a high mental, emotional, and physical level. And it really makes a lot of sense to me. The appeal of this technique is that self-control, being free from distractions or not letting them grab hold of us for 25 minutes, it's actually doable. And if we focus for 25 minutes, make real progress, then we'll, you know what? You know, I got something done. And it seems really clear to me that if we were able to focus ourselves without distraction for 25 minutes, we would make progress. And when we make progress, it feels good. And, of course, the Pomodoro habit would start to grow stronger and stronger. I've wanted to apply over the years Walter Russell's technique of 2 hours. Not able to do it. 2 hours is way beyond what my level of self-control will allow. 25 minutes, this is cool. And unfortunately for me, and I've recognized this, is I can be a time waster. You know, it's like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, this is interesting, right? I can go off in different directions and investigating stuff. I had this experience my entire life. I got to look up a word in a dictionary or an encyclopedia. That sounds like a single action, right? I'm going to look up a word in this encyclopedia or the dictionary. An hour later, you know, I've read every word under D in the dictionary or the... It's like, wow, I went in, it should have taken me 30 seconds, 45 seconds, maybe a minute, and off I went in this exploration of all this wonderful, delicious, interesting information. So, that's a challenge. But using the Pomodoro technique just a couple of times, let me try this, I have found it to be very helpful. It felt like I was really present. Like, yep, 25 minutes, I can do this. And I was there when I was working. I wasn't thinking, well, you know, I should do something else. Or, you know, I didn't have all those counter intentions or other intentions pulling on my energy. I liked the feeling of being present working on that project. And I noticed, I got more done. I was more productive. So if it is true that, and I frequently declare that it is, but, you know, it's an opinion. I say we only manage matter, solid stuff, energy, not solid stuff, space, and all of it within this concept that we call time. Then of those four things, time and the quantity available to us each day is constant. We all have 24 hours a day, and we can spend it or invest it any way we want. I would say that rich people and poor people, they may have different amounts of matter, energy, and space, but we all have the same amount of time. Chris Winfield, in his book or ebooks, has a byline on his ebooks. Live more life. Live more life. So just think, hey, if we decide to live more life, the first thing we might want to do is to take 25 minutes and define what that phrase actually means to us. Let's say we just did that. Live more life. Now I know what that means. Now we have more clarity on how to invest our time. One Pomodoro by one Pomodoro. The end result of our investigation into that phrase, live more life, probably will be directly related to this idea of, you know what I want to do? I want to raise my consciousness. I want to increase my awareness. I want to increase my self-acceptance and my other acceptance. And I want to have more fun. That's probably some of the things that are going to show up in my goal to live more life. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is a pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.